Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
There can be only one.
Let yourself feel the stack. Talk.
Oh my god, guys,
welcome to Princes of the Universe.
The
only Highlander podcast.
I am immortal. I have inside me blood of kings.
Woo! It's beautiful.
Oh man.
It's goddamn beautiful, Tom. Oh, get pumped. I'm one of your hosts, David Bell.
I'm the other host, Tom Ryman.
And we want to give a special thank you to James Rainey, our Patreon subscriber who made this all happen. James has tasked us with watching all of the Highlander films.
There are five of them.
There are five. We are watching the five Highlanders and then one extra bonus episode. I think about the Highlander anime or cartoon.
Those are two different things. There was a Highlander cartoon series, and there's a Highlander anime.
All right, it's whatever one is also a movie.
Just I think it's the anime.
Okay, so that puts us halfway through.
Oof.
We're halfway through with this episode, you guys. We've only just begun.
Oof.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's a real.
This is an undertaking.
Yeah, it's an undertaking. We're on, up to Highlander 3, which is otherwise known as, let's see, I wrote them all down.
Yeah, it's all on the Wikipedia.
Highlander 3, Highlander in the UK, this was Highlander 3, The Sorcerer. In mm-hmm. Sweden, it was The Magician. In the rest of Europe, it was The Final Conflict. And in the U.S. and Canada, it was The Final Dimension.
Yes.
Of course, according to the director, it wasn't even the final anything.
No. Yeah, he said the director says that The Final Dimension is the correct title.
Okay.
Although, yes, while also acknowledging that it was not, in fact, the final anything.
Right. That is a taste of things to come, because yeah. like the last Highlander, that there was production was... there was some problems. They can't seem to agree on things when it comes to making a Highlander film.
There's always arguments. They always run out of money or have... Well, they didn't run out of money for Highlander, but they had very little money for Highlander.
Yeah. It's a cult film. There's no one person in control of this, and there's not much demand for it. But we have... We can wait to talk more about that. We have three sections.
We sure do.
Yeah. Our sections are Whatlander, Whylander, mm-hmm. and Howlander. Mm-hmm. Whatlander, we will be just telling you the plot because I assume you haven't watched Highlander 3.
I have not seen Highlander The Final Dimension for 25 years.
Okay. I never had seen it.
I saw it when it came out. It came out like a week or two after my birthday in 1995.
What are your thoughts?
In America.
On the quality of this film, Tom.
It's better than two.
I disagree.
Really?
Yep. Because here's the thing. Two was so batshit that I was enjoying it for that.
Mm-hmm.
This one is kind of boring.
Yeah, it's like a more drawn out... It's basically a remake of the first movie, mm-hmm. except the flashback scenes don't really end up mattering.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, they don't really inform... Like, that... Like, the woman didn't... Well, we can talk about that in Wylander.
Okay.
But yeah. In general, I was okay with this movie. I was like, this is all right.
A better quality film than Highlander 2. I'll give it that.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm realizing that I find the Highlander mythology, so far, pretty boring.
And that's fair.
Yeah, because they only have the one thing. It's, oh, there's another immortal and he wants to kill him. Because there can be only one.
Yeah, apparently they get more into it. Like, the reason I, in doing research for this podcast, and I remember this from the 90s as well, the reason Highlander is popular is the TV show.
Okay.
Like, the TV show is what people really like.
I didn't know that. That's funny. And the TV show was starting around when this came out. Because I guess there's references to the TV show in this film. But
there might be. I've maybe seen one episode of the TV show.
Right. And maybe the TV show is amazing. Yeah, because this is why Highlander 2, it was just like, yeah, might as well take place in the fucking future and there's a goddamn dome over the sky. Because, like,
yeah,
where do you go from here? Where do you go from...
You kind of don't. Like, the first movie was so self-contained.
Yeah,
like,
the first movie is great. It just didn't need more.
Hey, we didn't need more of them. Like, maybe make the TV show. Because, like, the TV show expands... Like, apparently the TV show explains how the immortals actually become immortal.
That's cool. I could also see it as a reboot. Like, it's just the plot of Highlander, the first movie, but, like, just have way more immortals fighting each other.
And just draw it out for, like, you know, have it start back in, like, the 1500s and shit.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, this is... Man, this movie jumps right into it. It starts...
It starts with Lambert looking right at us.
Yes, just describing what the movie is.
What he's doing is he's grabbing us by the ears and telling us that Highlander 2 didn't happen.
Which is funny because technically Highlander 2 can still happen. It's just a prequel, right?
No, this negates a lot of the events in it.
Oh, the alien stuff it negates. But like the alien stuff it negates. The future dome stuff.
That could technically happen, but like his wife dies in a different way. Like we see his wife get old and die in Highlander 2. She's killed in a car accident in one.
It could be a different, I don't know. He could have remarried.
They're
clearly rewriting over Highlander 2. Yeah.
The police detective specifically says it was
okay.
That lady.
So it starts in the past and he's getting trained by this new guy.
He's getting trained by Mako. Esteemed Japanese actor.
What's that?
Mako is his name, the actor. He's been in a lot of movies. Yeah.
Yeah. who has the power of illusion, and he's like, hey, quick, cut my head off. And Lambert is like, no.
No, I don't want to cut your head off. I'm running out of friends.
And the other guy's like, look, I'm sick of being alive. Could you please cut my head off? Or at least that's how I interpreted it.
I think he knows Mario Van Peebles is coming and that he can't kill Mario Van. Like, he's not strong enough to beat Mario Van Peebles. So he's like, no, Connor, you got to take my power.
Yeah,
so
please.
So he doesn't get
cut
it.
Cut my head off, you jackass. Yeah.
So
but
this
he
motherfucker doesn't get it.
Yeah, and Mario Van Peebles shows up in desperate need of a lozenge.
His voice is out, like, man, when you have your main character is Christopher Lambert doing his fucking thing. And then... Mario Van Peebles' voice is wild.
He like growls just, like a wolf. Like he enters like, the cave and he's just like,
burn it all down.
I was reading. I was reading past like reviews that came out at the time, and they were just all talking about how funny his voice was in this.
The one thing you can indisputably say about this film, and no one will argue with you about it, is that Mario Van Peebles is having a blast.
Oh, 100%. I watched behind the scene interviews with him, and I think he literally says, I'm having a great time.
Like, you can tell he's having a great time.
Him and Christopher Lambert were friends. I guess they did a film before this.
I don't remember.
We'll get to it in Howlander. There's some issues with Mario Van Peebles behind the scenes.
I know.
Yeah. But not anything that blames, like, nothing that's Mario Van Peebles' fault.
No, it's why I'm curious if you found the same stuff I did.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure you must have, because we both used Google.
Yeah.
So
the Peebs, he chops like the guy's head off.
He's like a Mongol warrior, I think, named Kane.
He looks like the lead singer of, like, a crust punk band, especially in the future. He's got, like, a leather jacket and the weird, rocker mullet.
He's all tribed out, too, though. He's got, like, the tribal tattoos all over his chest.
Yeah.
And, like, the septum piercing.
Yeah. Also, I want to note the beginning credits of this was just things on fire. And I was like, oh, they're burning the previous film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of this I should put. This is why we talked about Wylander kind of merging into
well, basically,
Wetlander.
We can go pretty quick through Wetlander. So in the past, Kane shows up, who's this evil warlord guy, kills Mako and takes his Mako's the guy who trained Ramirez in the previous film. Kills him and takes his magic power, but as he's dying, Mako collapses the cave and entombs Kane within.
Yeah.
So 400 years later, a Japanese power company is excavating it to build a power plant, and Kane gets out. He goes to America to kill Connor. They fight, and Connor kills him.
That's
the long and short of it.
Yeah, it's the same. There could be only one. It's him being like, I have to kill Connor. So, okay, that's the Wetlander. Let's get into the Wetlander
now. Yeah.
Also, should note that the lady from the game in Silent Hill is in this.
Yes. Well, one of the ladies.
What?
One of the ladies. She's not the main character from Silent Hill.
No, but she's the main. She's from the Silent Hill.
Yes.
And she's from the game.
Yes, she's in the game.
She's great. I like her.
Yeah, Deborah Unger.
Yep. Okay. I guess my main question about this movie is why doesn't... So the premise is that basically his Yoda trainer... This movie opens with like a third act training montage, which I thought was very strange.
It was... I think that was directed right at the fans who were questioning like how... Because Ramirez was supposed to be his trainer, and like he quotes Ramirez as being his trainer in the first film, but Ramirez doesn't really train. Like, he gets killed pretty quickly after
he
meeting Connor.
Teaches him to have the same heartbeat as a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're like, how did he get so awesome at sword fighting? And they're like, well, let's have him go to Japan and train. And then this movie also tries to explain why he has a French accent by having him live in France, even though he had a French accent when he was a Scotsman.
Oh, it's so weird. It should also be noted that part of the answer is that this film was originally 3 hours long and cut to 90 minutes. So... That's also, I think, why they really jump into the training.
I can't imagine what they cut, because there's some shit still in this movie that could go.
Yeah. Well, I would say the fact that it opens with this Yoda montage, I was like, did I miss something? I double checked to make sure I didn't skip a sequel, because I was like, who is this guy? And they seem to be very chummy. And then this guy is just like, so this bad guy's coming and you have to beat him up. And he was like, okay. It's everything is just told to him immediately.
Yes.
My question, though, is that when they are the cave, there's the cave in,
mm-hmm.
and then it cuts to the future. And this mm-hmm. is the this. Okay. This is now after the events of Highlander 1. The
Correct.
Flashback in the cave, does that happen before the events, or it doesn't really matter? It happens after, right? Because he hasn't. Yeah. It doesn't matter. My point is that the end of Highlander 1, when he kills the guy, shouldn't he know that he's not immortal then? Because he must remember.
Should. He should.
So yeah, the premise is him.
It's weird that like those three immortals locked in that cave don't count.
Yeah, apparently not. But they do when they leave the cave.
Yeah, as soon as they get out of the cave, the game is back on.
So he should know, right? Like when at the end of that, he should have been like, I won. And then he would have cut himself, a couple months later and be like, oh, that's not healing. Or that's healing.
That's healing. Yeah.
Like he would know pretty quickly that he missed something.
Right. Or even if he did win, because we are told that he's won. Like part of the prize is you're mortal, but you also get all the world's all the knowledge of the universe, which I guess they kind of gloss over in the other movies.
Yeah, they really do.
So even if he had one, like he would have fallen down from hovering in the air, sucking up Clancy Brown's quickening, and then been like, oh shit, Mario Van Peebles is still in that cave.
You're right. Like, he doesn't need all the knowledge in the universe to know that, though.
Right, like Casey, right, he should remember. It's like, I wonder if that guy is still in that cave.
Yeah, it's really silly. I like that the Power of Illusion, he does a shell game at the beginning, the old Yoda master, and he like clearly creates two versions of himself next to each other, and then the henchmen are so confused. Like they're looking around like, what's the real guy? And it's like, it's the guy in the middle, right?
It's the guy in the middle, right?
It's the guy.
It winds up being the guy on the right.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
Mario Van Peebles. Yeah, Mario Van Peebles spots. It's the Total Recall thing. He sees the one on the right is sweating, so he stabs that guy.
So he adopts a kid.
Yeah.
All right. That was weird.
He adopts a little boy.
He couldn't have a kid because they would have pointed out the plot hole. Was he confused when he couldn't have kids and he had to adopt? I'm sterile?
It's been 8 years since the first Highlander, and the police detective tells Deborah Unger that Connor's wife died 7 years ago, so maybe they just didn't have time, or they tried and she just didn't get pregnant before she died. It's like, well, maybe I'm just shooting blanks.
Yeah, why would he care? Because as we learn, he's just fucking his way through history.
Oh, yeah.
He's just that woman's bloodline. He's just fucking her bloodline.
Right, and just because, I think we mentioned this in the first episode, but just because he's immortal doesn't mean he's not a disease farm.
Yes.
Like, he has STDs that have gone extinct.
Oh, yeah, he's got a dirty, dirty dick.
He has, like, Tyrannosaur AIDS.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the French Revolution stuff was fucking weird.
It doesn't have anything to do with the story.
It doesn't.
Like, we didn't need to... Deborah Unger's character is this researcher as this archaeologist who is very clumsy with her priceless artifacts. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah,
she's, like,
a bit.
Dropping shit on the... Like, she knocks that priceless Japanese silver block on the floor and, like, throws Connor's katana hilt at him. Like, that's a 600-year-old sword. But we didn't need to establish that, like, she was a lover of his in a previous life. Like, that didn't add anything.
Right. Why does that matter? It's not like
matter.
He would... It doesn't... I thought the reveal was going to be that she's immortal or something.
Right.
What they keep doing, guys, is they keep doing these flashbacks to McCloud at the French Revolution, mm-hmm. and he's met her, and they're fucking in, like, a barn. And all they're saying is... These people want to fuck so hard that he's fucked her ancestors.
Right.
It's just a long line of him just fucking her family.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the French Revolution. He's going to get his head chopped off. And his friend knocks him out.
Mm-hmm. His friend takes the hit for him.
And takes the hit, which I thought, like, that subtracts from him as a character, as a hero. I was like, oh, the Highlander or mortal got cold cocked and then, like, couldn't. Like, it's weird. And I want to get into Howlander because there was a different version of this.
There's got to be more Wylanders.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Sorry. I was saying I want to get more into this when we get into Howlander.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I know why this was confusing, I think. Because there was a version of the script where this all made sense, is what I'm saying. And they clearly must have cut it down. I love that the cops in this are just like weird, sloppy ghouls.
Right. I was watching this with Marina. The main detective is hideous. Like, yeah. no offense to that actor, but
they're like ogres. Looks... And I don't mean, here's the thing. No offense, because it's not how they look. It's all superficial. Like, they're unkempt and, like, not shaven.
Right. Yeah, that's he looks like... Like, the main detective has, like, the worst facial hair. It's, like, this weird configuration of neck beard and goatee that is so light you can barely see it. It's like, dude, shave. Like, it's...
Yeah. And they're just like, you're a liar, like Nash. Like, there's...
Right? That scene is amazing. Yeah. Like, they're... Like, because the cops are, like, convinced, like... They think he's Russell Nash, which was his alias in the first film, and like, hey, he's back and he's murdering again, even though they have zero evidence.
Right.
They arrest him at the airport. They're like, he's landed. We finally got him. I'm like, based on what evidence? And they intercept him before he can stop Kane from kidnapping his son, and they're grilling him in the interrogation room, just like screaming in his face. Like, he's like, no, you don't understand. A guy has kidnapped my son. Like, you don't have a son. You're a liar, Nash. And then it cuts to the guys on the outside of the interrogation room being like, we don't have any evidence on him. We got, it's like he says, without a full confession, we got nothing. I'm like, then why did you arrest him?
Yeah, the people on the outside is
nothing.
Like, I think our fellow cops are just harassing a random dude right now.
Mm-hmm. It's really just this one cop who is convinced Russell Nash is a murderer from 8 years ago.
Who just looks like a hobo. Yeah. Like, they're just, oh, yeah. He does not have a good time in New York. I love that his first...
Yeah,
Yeah, his first time in New York. They do. It's like a comedic beat. They show him heroically walking down like the middle of the street in New York. Like there's cars trying to get around him.
It's an alley.
I think the first shot it's on alley. It doesn't matter. But okay. it's like this hero shot of like he's in New York.
Well, I'll let you tell it, but I want to address the build up.
Okay.
It's like this. There's a build to this scene that starts with him galloping through the fucking Gobi Desert with his child, and like his quickening sense goes off because he senses that Kane has gotten out of the cave. He's like, oh shit, it's time for me to go back to New York. So he takes his son to his old British friend Jack. Who his son lives with sometimes.
They don't explain who Jack is. That's why
I
thought I had been missed. I missed a movie because I was just like, "Hey, Jack," and I was like, "Jack?"
I assume he had more scenes.
Yeah,
but like he just leaves his son with Jack and go and like he's like, "I must leave John with you and go back to New York to battle this magician Kane." And like he packs up this huge bag. And like he's like, are you sure this is what I do? He's like, it's what I have to do. And he flies to New York, and then he gets to New York, and we start with this shot.
Yeah, and it's a hero shot, and it's like he's in New York.
Yeah, he's
and
back, then, baby.
Within 15 minutes of him arriving of the film, he is then shot in an alleyway and dragged to the hospital and put in an asylum.
Yeah.
He immediately gets his ass kicked and thrown.
They started off by making it look like he's gonna fuck these dudes up.
Yes,
like
yes.
This gang of dudes comes out and they're like, "Hey," because like in movies, gangs always pull over and harass random people no reason.
Okay, I love because it's a car full of muggers. The car and what they're wearing is worth. There's like six of them. There's nothing he has on him that looks valuable.
He looks like a hobo.
Yeah, like it is not a good investment for these muggers.
He is dressed like Kyle Reese.
Yep. And then they don't. I don't think they mug him. So I think they just saw him let's kick his ass.
Right. Like they say something to him and he doesn't respond. And the guy pulls out a switchblade and he's like, that's a nice blade. He's like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking to you. And then like he does this cool move that we saw him learn earlier where he grabs your sword arm and twists his body into you to disarm you. So he does that and throws the guy in the car. We're like, fuck yeah, it's Highlander time. And then they immediately beat the shit out of him and shoot him in the chest three times. It's the most like anticlimactic.
Why did that happen?
It's so weird. A comedy beat. Yeah. It's like
I don't think so. Let's dance, punk. Blam, it's, blam, blam.
Right. It would be like watching Indiana Jones get the fucking Christ beat out of him while the Indiana Jones music is playing.
It's so weird because it's also like, what's the point of having healed bullet wounds if they still like take you out so quickly?
Oh, they hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets, like, it won't kill him, but it hurts.
It doesn't, none of it seems like a gift. And like, oh my God,
curse, really.
It was so weird. And then he's just in the hospital and they...
They immediately put a 5150 on him.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's been shot. And then they check him. They're like, he hasn't been shot. Throw him in the asylum.
Well, he snaps awake and he's like, you got to get me out. Like, you got to let me go. He's like, let me go. You can't hold me. And the doctor stabs him in the chest with a syringe. And I was like, he's crazy. Take him upstairs to the psych ward. I'm like, based on what?
Why? He deals like, with...
Like, he
worst.
Snapped awake, clearly, after experiencing some kind of trauma. Like, of course, if you snap awake out of that, you're going to have an extreme reaction.
He was presumably found in an alleyway,
mugged. Like, they explicitly found him in an alleyway.
It was just like, he's experiencing the worst of New York. Just bullies. Like, these random car muggers didn't mug him. They just... shot him.
They just murdered him
then
as far
the
as they know.
The cops who find him are like, fuck this guy.
And, yeah, this fucking piece
yeah,
of shit.
Yeah, and the doctors are like, throw him away! And we have to see a whole sequence where he has to escape from the metal, the ward of the hospital, which is like a 12 Monkeys style old-timey asylum setup.
It has bars.
Yeah. It's just like, what the fuck? He heroically walks into New York and just immediately has the worst time. He's like Homer Simpson in the New York episode of The Simpsons, where it just all falls apart for him. It is so weird.
one of my favorite things about this movie is that when Mario Van Peebles sends one of his guys ahead of him to go find Connor in New York, well, I guess he catches up to him. Like, I don't know what the fuck he's doing in the meantime.
He had to stay back and behead the other guy?
Yeah, but that cost him 5 extra seconds.
Exactly. I have no idea.
The guy was still in the building and saw all the quickening lightning, so, like, he knows what happened.
Yeah. He's like, I better get out of here.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of the movie is spent, like, with Mario Van Peebles trying to find where Connor McLeod is.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in a building with his name on the front.
He does.
He lives in Russell Nash Antiques.
Well, Mario Van Peebles, he's busy enjoying New York, such as playing three-card Monty and stealing a man's Morpheus glasses.
He does. He steals his Morpheus glasses. Yeah. He just randomly gets a prostitute. Like, he's looking at a sex shop, and this guy's like, hey, you don't want vinyl, you want the real thing. He's like, okay.
Why did he need to watch him have sex?
I don't know. That was a weird scene.
Yeah, that was real. It was just, well, now we're following him.
There's some real gratuitous moments in this. Like, the sex scene between Connor and Deborah Unger is, like, weirdly gratuitous.
Yeah, it's something.
like I said, I was watching this with Marina, and after, like, the first minute, like, 'cause it goes on for a while, like, we were like, this is pretty gratuitous.
Yeah. Like, is this suddenly porn now?
It got very close to, like, late night Cinemax. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's a full on crotch shot.
Yeah. Well, they,
like,
didn't.
God damn.
Yeah. they didn't know what they were making here.
No, they had no clue. And it's, you know, it's obviously this was released in the U.S. theaters anyway with a PG-13. So they clearly made two different cuts in the movie.
The director's cut has some surprising other differences that we'll get to besides what? Just the fucking.
One of the main ones that I remember from seeing this in the theater is that in the original theatrical version that I saw, the PG-13 version, it is unclear what happens to Mario Van Peebles.
Hmm. Yeah, he...
Like, he slashes him across the back, and then...
Right, they cut out the decapitation.
Yes, Mario Van Peebles turns around, and then it just gets a close-up on Connor's head as he says, there can be only one, and then it cuts to him getting all the quickening. I was like, what the fuck? Did he just die? Like, what happened? Like... Yeah. So it was very confusing in the theater. I thought I had, like, I don't know, like, lost time or something.
Right.
Like, did I miss the villain getting killed?
How'd you like the transformation CGI?
It was fine.
It was fine, and I was surprised by that.
The visual effects are actually not bad.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Well, that's the thing I want to get to with the director's cut, is the director's cut has better visual effects, which is a weird thing to have in a director's cut.
Yeah. Particularly the quickening scenes, like when in the cave, when Mario Van Peebles kills his own guy, and then in the very end in that factory or refinery or whatever, when it's like, they look pretty good.
Yeah. The weird stuff when he steals the Morpheus glasses, the shots are different in the director's cut to have them look more magical.
Mm-hmm.
And the quickening at the end, it's more of a CGI thing. In the regular cut, it's just like they shine a light at Christopher Lambert's face. And when Mario Van Peebles shows up in New York, he comes in through like a Mortal Kombat portal in the director's cut. And he doesn't, that's not how it is in the original. So, like, they must have had like some effects that they hadn't finished and they were able to finish for the director's cut or something. 'Cause it's the same shots, but augmented to be better. Mm-hmm.
That must be the case. It's weirdly the case with this series. Like the Highlander 2, for the Renegade cut, the reshoots they did were like 4 years after it came out.
Right.
Like, that's nuts to do reshoots 4 years after the movie was released.
Yeah, that's like, again, there seems to be a lot of emotion behind these movies.
I think, yeah. Like,
where they're like, we can't get it right.
They can't quite. I think the problem is they don't have, they're going for the big action spectacle of what this mythology can be, and they've never quite had the budget for it.
Yeah, I was watching a behind the scenes interview of Christopher Lambert during production, mm-hmm. and he says, I don't want to say it's a great movie, I just want to say they won't be disappointed by this one. So he's just like, nah, this time we'll get it right. Like, it's,
as,
they really
you know,
want
as,
it to work.
As a course correction, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, it, It definitely is like, okay, this is the actual sequel.
Right. I love when Mario Van Peebles kidnaps this child from the airport. Mm-hmm. Boy, he has fun in the car.
He does. He's having...
drives on the fucking runway.
Here, you take the wheel.
Yeah, he does a pun where he rips the wheel off and hands it to the boy.
Yeah, I laughed. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, it was terrific.
When he said you take the wheel and hands it to him, I was like, that's good.
Totally, it was like nothing like his character up until that moment. It didn't feel like.
Well, his character was always kind of like throughout the movie. His character's been pretty devil may care.
Yeah, that's fair. It was I've never seen him have that much
being
fun.
Mortal.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Well, he kind of, you know, when he terrorizes Deborah Unger, he goes to the museum and, like, fucks with her and sets her model on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Like, him messing with those guys doing three-card Monty, him picking up that hooker. Like, they've shown that he's playing it pretty fast and loose.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it was really just meant to echo the Kurgan scene from the first movie where he kidnaps the lady and is driving into people.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
That's true. Any other thoughts on the actual movie?
I'm trying to think if there's any other major Y-landers.
The major one is still just why didn't he see this coming?
Why didn't he see this coming?
Yeah.
In the French Revolution flashback, like he finally catches up to Deborah Unger's past character years later, but she's married and has a shitty little kid already, so he's like, damn.
Yeah.
But like, why didn't he like write her or like send word somehow? Like, somebody could have passed that message, I think.
Right. Maybe he was ashamed because he took the coward's way out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Cause he didn't take
also,
it. He got knocked out and someone heroically took his place.
Also, whose side was he on in the French Revolution?
I was wondering that too.
It is unclear.
They say something when they're beheading him, and I think they say something to imply he's on the side of the revolution, but they try to make it real vague because it felt like they were trying to both sides it. They're trying to be like a centrist on the French Revolution and be like, yeah, he got his head cut off in that whole mess. Doesn't matter what side. And it's like, it kind of matters what side.
It's sort of important, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I think that's all. I think that's all I had for.
Yeah,
Y-lander.
We can always circle back.
That's
let's,
true. If,
let's
if,
get
if,
into,
I, if I think of anything else,
yeah, let's get into Howlander.
Howlander.
This is directed by Andrew Morahan. He is a music video director, best known for Van Halen, George Michael, Cyndi Lauper, Tina Turner, Michael Jackson, Ozzy Osbourne. He has a huge music video career, and one of the bands that he also did music videos for, Guns N' Roses, who were asked to do the music of this movie. Oh, also the original writer, Brad Mehrman, wrote Body of Evidence, the Madonna movie.
Ooh.
He's uncredited because, according to the Mehrman, he was asked to do, in 1990, he was asked to do a rewrite of a screenplay for Christopher Lambert, and it never got filmed. And then he was approached for Highlander 3, did a draft, and then just never heard about it again. But the draft does have similarities and some differences. One being the flashbacks took place in Scotland and England instead of Japan and France. The main villain had a different name, Kilvara, instead of Kane.
They're all K names.
Yeah, they are. He had a different mentor, and the mentor was beheaded via guillotine, not necessarily in the French Revolution, but this was a cool idea, is he was beheaded, and Connor was supposed to be next to be beheaded, and the shock of the quickening that happened when he gets beheaded allowed Connor to leave, to bounce. So, like, that's a way better guillotine scene.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be pretty shocking.
Yeah, everybody's like, what the fuck?
Fucking Lord Raiden over here.
Yeah. And the final battle took place in a museum instead of an abandoned factory. But this was the original core script.
A museum would have been cooler, but I understand budget. Yep. why they did it in a factory.
Yep.
In generic 90s, like I just recently realized why so many 90s action movies have sequences in factories. Because it's really cheap to film there.
They were all like going out of business. Like, could you do something? The original director of Highlander 2, and I think he did one, right?
Yeah, Russell Mulcahy, also a music video director.
He got sued for this film.
Really?
Yep, he agreed to do this film. A verbal agreement. They set aside $1.2
million.
And then he backed...
For his fee?
I guess. And then he backed out. And he denied there was never an agreement. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
It had a budget of about 26 or 24 million, depending on who you ask. It made about $12 million.
Yeah, not a great success.
Yeah. Shooting in 1993 of December. They used 60 different sets for it. So the Guns N' Roses stuff, is that
yes.
what?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I found, yeah. Like, apparently, they had according to the director, he said, they loved that Queen had done the music on the first one, and I had Axl ready to go. But all of a sudden, Axl Rose revealed that he really had a personal dislike, what they call an unexplained dislike of Mario Van Peebles.
Yep.
What like the director has no idea why Axl Rose hates Mario Van Peebles.
Yep.
And he refused to do any songs for the movie if Mario Van Peebles was involved with it.
Right. That is so weird. And then they said, the director said, like, we tried to get rid of Mario Van Peebles because we considered Guns N' Roses more a bigger get, but they couldn't get rid of him. Which, yeah. I'm glad. Fuck him. I want Van Peebles in this.
I want the Peebs, yeah.
Yeah, I want the Peebs.
Besides, we still got a bitchin' instrumental version of Dr. Feelgood while they're fighting. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I was like,
this is Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah. I did like the song, the song when he's doing the montage training in the Highlands.
Oh, that's...
what is that song? It's a known song.
Marina knows what... It's one of her favorite songs.
Yeah.
Or she really likes it anyway. It's a well-known song.
It's a real Lord of the Rings type song.
Yeah, it's some Lord of the Rings shit, although it is not Anya. It sounds like Anya, but it is not Anya.
It's better than Anya.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for that shit, too, but I do not like Anya.
Oh, well.
So that's my only reasoning of why it's better than Anya. I don't know, man. Martin Newfield, who plays the cop.
the ogre.
Yeah, the ogre who's chain-smoking in the film. He apparently just started smoking for real for the role, and it took him 2 years to quit after.
You can kind of tell he's not really smoking in some scenes.
Yeah, but he got him addicted to cigarettes.
Yep. Like, he just barely puts the cigarette in his mouth when he's taking a drag. And the scene when he's talking to Deborah Unger in the bar, it's like, oh, he's not really smoking that cigarette.
Yep. I went into IMDb trivia, which I do not trust.
No, it's completely unsourced, but it has one of my favorite tidbits, and I hope it's true.
I bet it's the same as mine.
Oh,
what is it?
Sure it is.
What is it?
Okay. According to IMDb trivia, they hired... what it says is, during filming in Montreal, two local punk rockers with Mohawk hairdos were hired as extras for a scene in which they attempt to rob the newly awakened Kane in a dark alley. The two were paid a nominal fee and thanked for their services before shooting. The scene was cut after they were seen taking drugs on the set and overheard plotting to kidnap Mario Van Peebles by driving away in the makeup RV with him, Peebles, in it.
I really hope that's true.
They're just plotting to kidnap Mario Van Peebles.
I like that they would cut the scene and just be like, those guys, I don't know. We probably should show those guys.
I think those guys are criminals.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately dangerous.
Yeah. It reminds me, I got to be a punk rocker beating someone up in a movie, and it was similar in that, like, I had been an extra on previous things, and the producer called me, but I had other punk friends, so they were just like, yeah, bring them along. And it was just a bunch of random punks who'd never done anything like this, just, like, showing up at 2 in the morning to film something. So I can believe the idea that they just saw these punk rockers and were like, yeah, fuck it, bring them in.
Yeah.
They look perfect. Also in IMDb trivia, and I think this is true with the original script, that he apparently was going to kill Jack the Ripper.
Who was also an immortal. Yeah, apparently.
Which checks out. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's nuts.
They also have the repeated trivia, and I read this in a few places, that they didn't use body doubles for the sex scenes, and they just went for it. Like, they were just like, fuck it, let's do it. I mean, I'm sure they didn't have real sex, but they were no, let's do it. Let's do the sex scene. Which, I think that happens a lot. I don't think that's a
uncommon thing. Yeah.
But for these sex scenes, it's like, really?
It's, yeah.
Are you sure?
They're really bumping uglies in this. Like, yeah. It is gratuitous. It is some Red Shoe Diary shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The movie they made together was Gunman.
Gunman. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen it. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's all I have for the Howlander. This is, man, this series, it's, oh yeah, that was the final thing, is I think they were still, and this sort of explains it in my head, is that it was a French-Canadian co-production, and they still had, like, you know how we were talking about in Highlander 2, they had the betrayed by, I forget where, Argentina or something like that, where they were lured into another country due to production. It was all a fucking clusterfuck. I think they're still, like, having the remains of that deal. So, like, the producer said he just... The director said that he was kind of... He felt like he had no support from anybody, and he was left to crash and burn, and that the company wasn't... Yeah, they, like, ran out of budget, and they just weren't really supporting. So it's another case of, like, no one giving a shit Highlander in production.
It's a dual production where the two sides are fighting. Like,
yeah.
I'm reading this Empire article, is where I'm finding this, about the history of the Highlander movies. And what the director says was that the Miramax producers, he says they were at arm's length, and then the French producer was difficult. So he was basically getting hassled by the French producer. He wasn't getting backed up by Miramax. But they at least finished filming, which did not happen on Highlander 2.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like they cut it way down for this one to make it kind of confusing. I mean, it wasn't as confusing as Highlander 2. Although Highlander 2 is confusing for a totally different reason.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that I couldn't follow it. I was just like, why do this?
Why any of this?
Yeah.
And then, like, the explanations you dug up from that making of documentary don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, we got this drunken idea. It's like, no, that's like, so were you drunk for all 6 weeks of filming? Like,
exactly. When they're like, it was a bad production. We had trouble with the.
It's like the production is not, like, the problem.
Yeah, the writing is the problem.
The core ideas here are the problem.
Yeah, yeah. This one is it's way more on the rails. But for that reason, I enjoyed it less.
Yeah. It's I can see that. It is kind of dull in stretches. It could probably be trimmed down by about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I did find some in this Empire article that we'll probably be using it for the next film too. It's called Highlander: A History on Empire.
Ooh.
Had some interesting facts about the first movie, one of which was that when they hired Christopher Lambert based on that Greystoke movie where he played Tarzan.
Okay.
He does not speak in that film. So when they hired him, they realized that he couldn't speak English.
Oh no.
Like, he could barely speak English. So he had this dialogue coach with him throughout the entire movie. They had to loop pretty much all of his lines.
Oh no. Yeah, you can't just you can't, that's a bad way to hire an actor.
Yeah. I mean,
he came out all right.
Yeah, it comes out all right. And also, they had Sean Connery for 7 days, which we might have talked about.
Yeah, I think so.
And every day they went over, they would have to pay him $1 million. And it got, like, to the last hour of the last day. Russell Mulcahy says, Sean Connery turned to him and said, "You're not going to finish, are you?" And he says, I said, "Hang on." And I got him to stand against a green leafy background. And I said, "Turn left, turn right. Okay, smile, swish your sword, do this, do that, turn around." And then, like, at the very last minute, he was like, "All right, cut. That's a wrap."
Just like, I think we can plug this in.
Right.
Somewhere.
He just shot a bunch of quick inserts. Connery standing against a generic leafy background.
That is what a nightmare these films are to make. This is like, someone needs to make a movie about making this movie, like a dramatized film just going
about
through
all of them. Yeah. This, yeah. I mean, just base it on this Empire article. This Empire article is fascinating, yeah. You guys.
Like, they can't make a single fucking Highlander.
I don't know why they can't get it together. Like, this movie is, this franchise is cursed.
Yeah, it is. Like, they're just like, okay, this time,
every
we'll
single
get it.
Film has, like, huge problems.
Yeah. I think it's just there's not much interest in it. But they have, like, we've been doing the Tremors podcast, and there's not much interest in Tremors either.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, Tremors doesn't require, they don't keep trying to get Sean Connery and, like big actors. For Tremors, they're just like, this is what we have to work with. Let's make it. It's a small budget. We'll have fun with it. And they figure out how to work within their budget. Highlander mm-hmm. doesn't seem to have that talent. Like, they seem to have lofty goals. And then only when they're filming are they like, wait, we can't do this.
Yeah.
We're running out of money and resources.
Like, they don't realize they can't actually do what they're doing until they're setting up to film the thing that they can't do.
Yeah.
So it's like, shit.
Yeah. They're like setting up and they're like, okay, so this is the T-Rex scene. I'm sorry, what? We don't have a T-Rex? Oh, I guess we couldn't make a giant T-Rex. Geez. Do we have any dogs?
All right. Let's just get a real tight close up of Christopher's face.
Yeah. All right. Cut. We'll figure it out.
Say, okay. Chris, say, oh my God, there's a Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah. Oh, can you also God, say Stegosaurus? Can we do a Stegosaurus take? All right, great.
Just getting him to say different dinosaurs. Yeah.
Good job, Christopher. Here's your $5 million.
I would watch a movie that's nothing but Christopher Lambert sitting behind a desk looking directly into camera and just saying different dinosaur names.
Oh, 100%.
Ankylosaurus. Pterodactyl. Tyrannodon. Dinosuchus.
100%. I don't even need the video. I would just, it's like a book on tape. I would listen to it asleep and have some great dreams.
The video adds something, though, I think.
True.
If he just has his hands clasped neatly in front of him, just
yeah,
smoldering
like the opening
into the camera.
Shot of this movie, yeah.
Yeah. Just saying different dinosaur names with a completely stone face.
Mm. That's what Jurassic Park should have been.
Yeah, Jurassic World 3 needs to just be that.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Highlander.
What a freaking movie series, you guys.
Yeah, so there's another one after this, and then
there's
another
two
one?
More. There's two more.
So they couldn't take the hint.
Well, the next two bring in Adrian Paul, the guy from the series.
Okay, and is Christopher Lambert in those?
He's in the next one, but not in the last one.
All right, so that's where he drew the line.
Oh yeah, he emphatically bows out.
He's
in
like,
Endgame.
I'm doing Ghost Rider 2. Fuck this.
Hell yeah, he is.
He sure is. Christopher Lambert, man. His career, I think he deserved better.
Yeah, I mean,
because like he's Lord Raiden, and then he bounced from that. He got replaced by James Remar.
James Remar.
And then he's Highlander, but he never... It feels like he's blue-balled on Highlander. Like, they never got the one they wanted.
I mean, that first one's pretty aces, but yeah.
It sounds like even that production had problems.
Yes.
So it's just like he never got, like, an actual Highlander where they're like, okay, that's a wrap. We got everything we wanted and know exactly what we're doing.
And we didn't have to make any compromises.
Yeah.
We had a clear vision and we executed that vision.
And then what else has he done? He's in Ghost Rider 2 with a bunch of shit all over his face that he apparently didn't take off during shooting days because it was too hard to take off.
Yeah, I can see that. That's not uncommon if it's just too much of a pain in the ass to get in and out of it. Like, I'd be the same. I'd be like, fuck it, just leave it on my face.
Yeah.
Like
he seems committed.
Yeah. He's in a lot of... He works a lot. It's just he's in a lot of, like, sci-fi movies.
He should be
Sci-Fi Channel movies.
Yeah, he should be in the reboot that's apparently happening of Highlander as the Sean Connery character.
He should be, yeah.
And I think, I mean, if they want, the more I watch these movies, the more I'm like, he's Aaron Eckhart. He looks like fucking Aaron Eckhart. So they could get Aaron Eckhart to play, although he's not that young anymore, Aaron.
No, they're probably pretty, like, I think Christopher Lambert is probably only like 10 years older than him.
Yeah. I wanted Aaron Eckhart to play Christopher Lambert in the Making of Highlander movie.
Well, for a while, Ryan Reynolds was attached to the reboot, but like Ryan Reynolds is like 50 now. So,
I mean, it doesn't matter.
They're all
though.
Getting up there.
They could just get Christopher Lambert. They just get whoever does the job. Yeah, they just John Wick it. They're like, fuck it. He's old. It doesn't matter. Does it matter? We just make him look like he kicks a lot of ass. The Equalizer. How old is Denzel?
Denzel is 60s.
Yeah. And he's equalizing the shit out of people. And it's great.
Oh, my mistake. Ryan Reynolds is not 50. He's like 42.
Yeah.
Okay. But like, yeah, like the man who killed Hitler and the Bigfoot. Like, they have Sam Elliott kicking ass, and Sam Elliott's 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. We've, at some point in the last 10 years, they like, I feel like producers were like, no, he's too old. He's too old. And then they tried it once. They're like, okay, apparently that's not an issue with audiences. Apparently no one cares. And we don't. I want to see Christopher Lambert sword fighting with some like 26-year-old actor.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah. No, who gives a shit? That should be the title of the reboot.
Yeah. Highlander 5, who gives a shit? Or that wouldn't even be Highlander 5. It'd be like Highlander 6.
You're right. Oh, wow.
Highlander 6, fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you, we're doing another. Oh, God. They start production, and then they're like, oh, I guess we only have a budget of $30,000. So everybody get into these cardboard armor that we cut out. Just another fucking disaster. These movies are a weird disaster.
it's so strange that every single movie has a huge production issue.
I don't know, man. I really think it's just that they've overestimated the interest from producers and from audiences, because who thinks about these sequels, you know?
Nobody. They're very forgettable.
Yeah, they are. They're very
the last one.
Yeah.
I knew about Endgame, but not Highlander The Source.
When was The Source made?
2006.
Jesus. Yeah, that's weird. I guess people are... It's got to be like Tremors, where there's like a small audience that's still keeping up with the Highlanders.
I think these are all theatrical films, though, is the thing.
You're shitting me. I know. Okay, this one was. I know that.
This one is Endgame. I remember when Endgame came out. That definitely
was. What are they doing? Streaming is right there.
Well,
oh, it wasn't in 2006, I guess. This is a mystery.
Okay. Highlander The Source was a made for sci-fi movie.
Okay. There we go.
But Endgame was a theatrical film.
Good God. So weird. It's a premise that only worked once. There can be only one. And they just kept tacking on more goddamn movies. And I thank them for that, because now we have this podcast to talk about them.
It's true. Oh, man. There's so many more.
Yeah, too many.
There's so many more.
Yeah. Only halfway through, you guys.
Yeah, we got so many more.
Yeah. I think we're done for now, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's guys, it. That's a sode for today.
Yeah, that's a frothy sode.
A bubbling sode.
Mm-hmm. Special thanks again to James Rainey, who made this all happen.
Yeah.
Thank you for being brave enough to say, hey, what if we made a podcast about the Highlander films? God bless you. True hero.
He's the real hero here.
He is. He's the one. He's the Highlander.
He is the only one, yeah.
Yeah.
He is the only one there can be.
Yes. Guys, this was made possible through our Patreon, and if you're interested in checking out our Patreon, go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have tiers. Yeah, we have tiers where you can make us watch movies or do whole entire podcast series about things like the Highlander. So 100% check it out.
And we also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out shirts and stickers and all kinds of bullshit that we made that you can put in your house and on your body.
Yep, you can put them. There's nothing wrong with them. They can go in your house. You don't have to leave them in a shed.
Nope,
there's
no spiders in them. There's no quarantine period required when you get to your house.
Perfectly clean.
We guarantee that we have not personally placed our DNA on every single item.
Absolutely.
That's a guarantee. That's a legally binding guarantee.
It's certainly a guarantee that we're saying that we can discuss the legality of
right
in it's the future.
We are definitely guaranteeing that you can never prove we didn't do it.
Exactly. Nice.
We didn't not do it.
We did not do it.
You can't prove that we didn't not do the thing that I just said.
Yeah. There's no way that we put our DNA probably on the items you buy.
Right. It's probably not possible for us to do that.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, that has not happened.
Yeah.
Right.
We didn't jizz on anything.
We didn't fuck these products is what we're saying. Fuck these products.
But you can if you
can
want to.
If you want to.
Yeah, they're yours.
They're yours. You can do whatever you want. You put them in a... You can eat it. I don't care.
Eat it.
Put it in a sandwich. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Highlander 6. Fuck you.
Fuck you.